Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the FNGG committee on the 4th of November, 7:30. We kick off with FG01219 to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Apologies received from Councillor Cowley. Acceptable reasons have been given.
Okay, can I have a proposal to accept those apologies? Councillor Clark, Councillor Barnes seconding. Those in favour? Thank you. FG1319 to receive any declarations and dispensations. No declarations of interest, therefore I assume no dispensations have been asked for or given. FG1419, public participation, as the public gallery is empty. We shall move on to FG1519 to approve the minutes of the Finance and Governance Committee meeting held on the 17th of June. Does anybody have any comments, please? Councillor Hart.
There is a typo, but I'm just waiting for it to come up again because I closed it and I'll be able to. Yes. Oh, thank you. I recognise it on my screen, sorry. I had it highlighted, but it's just a missing letter. It was a word like. Coming now. I'll email the clerk, shall I? So therefore, then it can just be.
Okay.
It's just a typo. That's
just a single typo.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, can I have a proposal to accept the minutes as true and accurate records? Councillor Clark and seconder. Councillor Hart, those in favour? Unanimous, thank you. FG1619 to report back on the minutes of the FNGG committee on the 17th of June. Mr Clark.
A couple of actions to report. First, in respect of agenda item 9. From the last meeting, there were three actions for the parish office. The first of those was the clerk and the RFO to refer to the guidance issued by JPAG, to review the guidance that was presented to council that was issued by JPAG on the 23rd of April. This was the one where the guidance came out suggesting we should have a general reserves level of 3 months. That review was conducted and a subsequent revised report was submitted to council at a later date. To put the reserves policy to 6 months. The second action and that agenda item was the financial regulations to be updated to reflect the reserves policy as per the internal auditor's comments. That's happening tonight. And third action was the clerk and the RFO to review the appointment of the internal auditor. Our current auditor is coming next week to do an interim review. Next week. To do an interview review. We haven't got any further in the review process than that. And then the final two actions were in respect of agenda item 10. There was an action for a quote for an additional fire safe to be obtained. That's on the list of things to potentially precept for next year. Although there was a discussion in the office last week about whether we actually need one or not. The final action was for quotes for a solicitor to be obtained with a view to storing valuable documents like deeds and so on and so forth. That hasn't happened yet, but it is on the list of things to do. And they were the only actions from that meeting. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, FG1719. Consider the timetable of committee meetings going forward. Mr. Clark.
Thank you. So, recommendation from the RFO is that with respect to the Finance and Good Governance Committee meetings, we currently have 5 a year, and they are January, March, June, November, and December. The suggestion is that we should probably have one in September, so that we can do things like review the insurance renewal of the council, which is always up in September. And depending on the timing, we could probably receive the external auditor's report at that meeting as well. And following on from that, the suggestion is that the November meeting may well become superfluous, so we could probably do away with that. So in essence, the suggestion is have a finance meeting in September, do away with one in November, and going forward we could potentially also do away with one in January for reasons that will become apparent when we get on to the next agenda item.
I was in relation to that. I was wondering if the November one might become more important to have just as a precept discussion, given the change in the timetable at South Cowes.
We could always find things to put on an agenda. It is within committee's remit to decide whether to have the meeting or not. So.
Councillor Clark.
We're having a meeting on the 4th of December, aren't we, to go through? So would that not be more? We could use the November, push that one into December and have that as that type of meeting, because that seems like a sensible idea to have that type of meeting anyway as a preset meeting.
The precept has to be at South Cams by the 20th of January now, which is moved several weeks earlier. So I just wonder if we want two FMGG meetings to talk about the precept, or at least to look at what goes into the precept and then approve it before it goes to full council. Councillor Hart.
Looking back on here, it does seem a long time from the 17th of June to whatever day it is in November, so I think if we have one in September, it then gives us some flexibility if we did need another meeting. Are we allowed to call a meeting that isn't scheduled?
Yeah.
I think it feels safer having something in September, then we can look to see, do we need, is there more we need to do before? That does seem a long time ago, so I think the September meeting is a good idea.
I agree entirely with the September meeting. I don't think anyone's got any doubts about that, but it's just whether we remove this one that we're at now or add it in, keep it in for precept purposes. Councillor Clark.
Sorry to be a pain. I'm usually away the whole of September. I don't usually get back until the back end, and then it's my birthday and I go away again, because I'm very lucky she takes me away. So I'm not really back into play until around about the 29th or 30th of September. So maybe squeezing into the first couple of days of October might be, otherwise I won't be able to attend, probably.
Too late then for the insurance purposes. Yeah.
Could you do the last?
We go
August,
isn't it? We've got holidays, isn't
it? Yeah, we go away about 29th, 28th, 29th August, and then back
again. We might have to survive without you, Councillor.
It's fine. Can I send my apologies, Mr. Clark?
You've got a time, if that's okay.
A standing order for apologies in September.
if it's at the back end, right at the back end of September, I might be able to make it, but anywhere in the first 20 days.
Too late, wouldn't it? At least be the beginning.
No, I wouldn't have made that.
Okay, do we need to vote on that? Or
please, if you're going to resolve to have a meeting in September.
Okay, I would propose that we add a meeting in September, and for the moment we don't remove the November one. Okay, so I'm happy to propose that. Seconded, Councillor Hart. Those in favour?
Reluctantly.
Unanimous. Okay, moving on to FG 1819, to consider a report from the Assistant Clerk on land registrations. Assistant Clerk.
Well, there is a report in
there. There is indeed. Fairly succinct.
It's just that I am struggling to progress this land registration, because they've said that to claim adverse possession of this little strip of land at the bottom of Maple Way, we need to have fenced it off for a period of 12 years.
It's not really practical. Unlikely to happen.
It's an odd one. Unfortunately, this copy doesn't have the colouring on it, but there were lots of little pieces of land transferred from the Beechwood Residents Association to the Parish Council, and for some reason this wasn't part of it.
Mm-hmm. So does everyone know where this bit of land is?
Is it the bit opposite the Black Horse car park?
Yeah.
The trees and bushes on it?
Yeah. It's the strip of land across the extra parking area.
Yes, I know
exactly. The council's regularly, well, from time to time, trim the bushes because no one else seems to. Yeah. Hence the reason we thought we may as well take it under our control.
Yeah.
But that was, seems proving difficult, even though the land registry says nobody has it.
We've carried out investigations to find out who owns it, and nobody seems to claim ownership. There was some suggestion, I think, a couple of years ago that it would belong to the brewery, but they said not. So.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do
essentially
now?
I've kind of exhausted what I can do, and it is perhaps something that we need to take some legal advice on, get something else to move it forward.
Councillor Clark?
It's not buildable, isn't it? I'm not familiar where it is. Could someone actually squeeze a house on there if they tried?
No.
It's not anywhere
near. It's a couple of metres wide.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. If it's something like that, is it really going to cause a problem if we leave it?
No, there is a question of access to other...
Is it used formally by the pub as extra parking? Is it like overflow parking for the pub, or is it overflow parking?
Well, I think the land in question is the bit that isn't tarmacked.
Well, I was wondering whether if it's used as parking by the pub, maybe the brewery could be persuaded to buy the land that goes.
They would have the same problem that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who owns it, who has registered title to it.
How practical would it be to fence it off and just wait 12 years? if that's the only option, is it practical to actually fence it off?
Well, I don't think it would interfere with anyone's use of the car parking.
No.
It would make it more difficult to maintain it, because it is really just a little strip, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only reason really that we were looking at taking it is that then at least we know who's responsible for it, and we're maintaining somebody else's land. Although, who knows who that is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Counter's Crown property if it's...
Well, we're not going to get South Cams to come down and sort it out, are we?
No.
So how much is it costing us to actually maintain it? Is it half a cut? Is it 20 minutes work for someone?
It's occasional cutting back of the bushes, really, more than anything else.
Yeah, it's
hardly worth expiring. If you start expending into lawyers, you're going to spend hundreds and maybe more just to find out. Maybe not get any further than fence it off. Is it worth it?
Councillor Hart.
So if somebody had an accident on that piece of land, tripped or who would then have responsibility? Who would be... If we maintain it, are we then
liable?
Or are we just doing our duty to, you know, because I mean, what we've got now is a paper trail that we've tried our hardest to find out who it belongs to, and I thought we were saying putting up a fence for 12 years seems ridiculous, in my opinion. But if we just carry on making sure that it's maintained, we're, I guess, just doing what we do in the village. We're not actually then seen as being responsible.
I don't know what the legal recourse would be. I mean, it seems to me that it's sensible for us to continue to maintain it as part of our remit to keep the village in a suitable state. Mm.
Mm. It would depend on the reasons why somebody had an accident.
Yeah.
If it was because we hadn't maintained it, then we haven't maintained it because it's not our land.
Yeah.
But if it's because we have maintained it, then you are accepting the responsibility for a duty of care.
Mm.
In as much the same way as if, you know, someone went out and gritted a road that they shouldn't be gritting.
Yeah, okay.
And then someone else came along and fell over. The fact that it's not your road is neither here nor there.
Yeah. Mm. So as long as we maintain it in a responsible way and don't leave debris and whatever there, then safe. And for me, at least we've been seen to do something to try and find out. And so, yeah, and if we've got this that we're saying, actually our decision is we'll carry on maintaining it. And
I think for the negligible cost, we might as well keep maintaining it, because it just looks horrible otherwise. Okay, do we need to propose anything, or just...
Yes, please, if you want to keep maintaining it, then a vote would be handy.
Okay, so proposal to keep maintaining that area. Councillor Hart, second is Councillor Barnes. Those in favour? Unanimous, thank you. Okay, skipping over 1919 because it's not there, we'll move on to FG 2019, which is the budget for 2020. Part A is to consider a report on the deadlines for precept requests.
Thank you. So, as has already been discussed, South Hams have requested the precept information in earlier than usual for next year. 20th of January, to be precise, is when they want it, which is about 2 to 3 weeks earlier than usual. And that's fine, perhaps the council can be in a position to provide that information, no problem at all. It has thrown the schedule of January meetings into turmoil somewhat though, because the full council meeting in January is now after the deadline. So I propose that we either move the January meeting or hold a special meeting with one agenda item on it in addition to the normal January meeting, so that we can get the precept decided and get the information into South Camps by the deadline. As it stands at the moment, there are 4 council meetings scheduled for January, and it's a shorter month for the office because the first week is lost because no one will be here, so we can't do any preparation for meetings. So my personal preference would be to move the meeting in January rather than hold the second one. And I'm suggesting that if we do move, then we move it to the 13th of January. There is a planning meeting scheduled for the 13th of January at the moment, but I suggest also that the planning meeting could be moved back 2 weeks and to the 27th of January, and so basically we switch them.
Switch them out, yeah.
Wearing my hat as chair of planning, I am more than happy with that suggestion. In fact, I think I've made it.
I'm happy with that.
Wearing your council chair's hat. Excellent, that's the two committee chair. I'm quite happy with that idea.
Do we need to vote?
Please.
Yep, I'll propose that we switch the planning and full council meetings between the 13th and the 30th. Seconded, Councillor Clark. Those in favour?
Did you say 30th or 27th?
Sorry, 27th. I can't have 13th and 14th, sorry. Okay, item B is to consider precepting for MAID and the Community Rail Partnership contributions. Both of these items currently come out of the solar farm roundabout.
There is a report from your county councillor in your agenda pack on the Community Rail Partnership suggestion.
To me, it makes sense. It's a regular payment in both cases. It seems silly to take it out of one-off grant money if we're going to be making that payment anyway. Councillor Clark.
On the basis, excuse me, I'm not so worried about the community payment. That's just £700, isn't it? That's very small amount of money. But with regard to the MAID one, as it's £12,000 out of £41,000, that's what it's supposed to be for, the charitable donations, the S137s, isn't it? S137 money?
Yeah.
Out of that, if we were to preset that, isn't that going to push, on the basis that we're going to be adding things to the preset request list for this year, there's going to be a wish list.
I do have a slight issue with putting the MAID one on the preset at the moment, because we're putting 11,000, 12,000 typically into MAID. That's going to be 4.5-5% of our precept. If we don't, then cut costs somewhere else. And at the moment, it's looking like there's a big list of things that potentially are coming in for. I could understand it if we were very pushed for funds out of the community benefit funding. But actually, we should be spending on something. And so at the moment, when we're still in a position where we're actually trying to build up our reserves and preset to build up our reserves, it seems a bit, it doesn't seem quite right to then say, well, we'll also not use that money, we'll just leave it sat there and charge parishioners, because that's what's going to happen, is the parishioners are going to have to pay for it, when in fact they wouldn't have to, and maybe that you might want to consider deferring that for a few years until the excess reserves are built up a bit more.
Yeah.
I agree, the £700 is not quite such a big issue, and I can see why they want to do it, because they want to make sure that they definitely get it. Because if it just goes to the grant funding, we could potentially make decisions that say we're not going to fund it. Whereas if it's in the precept, it's there, isn't it?
Councillor Hart.
Yeah, I mean, that's I've seen the thing about the other things we're saying we're going to precept for, because I think the time bank coordinator was also going to be precepted for, is that right? I think that's another chunk. I'm mindful of, I don't know if the clerk has got any information in terms of what our guidelines are in terms of increasing the precept, if there's an amount percentage-wise that we're not allowed to increase more than.
No, not at the moment, there isn't. That may change in the future. And even if it does, it's unlikely to affect Melbourne.
Right.
Central government last year said essentially that if parishes as a whole were nationwide, thing can keep the percentage increase down below a certain percent, I think it was 5%, then they would not introduce referendum principles. At the moment, principal councils, district and county councils, if they want to put their precept up by over a certain percentage, they have to have a referendum, which means none of them ever do.
No.
And there was talk about making that more applicable to parish councils as well. But last year, parish councils as a whole did manage to keep the increase down to below what central government requested. So this year, said that they will not be introducing referendum principles for the forthcoming financial year. That may change in the future. If they do, it is likely to only affect councils with a precept in excess of £500,000. So referendum likely to affect Melbourne. But yeah, it could come one day.
And what was our percentage increase last year? Does anybody remember?
It was about 5,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Nationally, they went up by 4.9%.
Councillor Clark.
I think I agree with the RFO's approach on this. I think that there are going to be things that we are, when we come to our 4th of December meeting, there are going to be things that we're going to be putting forward and debating as to what should go on. I've got a couple of things. I think that Mr Clark's got some things as well he wants to add. So if we throw the 12,000 into the mix, it is going to cause a problem, and we are trying to build reserves. And we have got the S137 monies there for quite a few more years, I believe. So, and we've had money left over, I understand, each year after we've done the April and the November one, even if it's only been, albeit a small amount of money. So it's not exactly as if we're minusing ourselves all the time through the pot and sort of having to say, well, you had something this year, you definitely can't have any in the next year because we haven't got any more money, you know, and this type of thing. We seem to be adequately covered for the amount of people that want to approach us for the grants, even though Mr Forbes would have us go around the village with an OEA, please come and claim money. But we advertise it well enough for this type of thing. I think it makes sense to sort of leave it where it is, in my view.
I think from memory, the last 2 years we've had a small surplus. The year before we were oversubscribed. And I think it's looking like we're likely to be oversubscribed this year.
Well, we just no, I understand that, but the last full council meeting when we had the April ones, we did pare back. And I think it worked quite well.
So then we're invited to reapply.
Yeah, that's right. I think that worked quite well. I think we only had one company or one charity that was sort of not happy with what happened, but they hadn't submitted the right paperwork, as I understand it, so therefore they didn't qualify. But they're reapplying in November, as I understand it. So I think we fulfil the obligation of using that money properly. But if it was just £1,000 or something like that, I'd say yes, it makes sense. But 12,000 every year, that is a large chunk.
Councillor Hart.
I mean, I'm aware this is coming up later on in terms of the it's the regulations for the community grant policy for that. But we did have a time, wasn't too long ago, where we were oversubscribed. Mm-hmm. And then we, if you remember rightly, Councillor Murray, what we did was we decided which ones we would fund, and then we did a ratio. So I think, you know, that's another way of doing it. Yeah, so, but for me to use that, the precept for the maize thing is not the right time, as the RFSA is not the right time to be doing that. So we'd really want to go with that idea that we use the community fund for that.
The other side of that coin, though, is that MAID is a service that we're providing to parish council.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be precepting for it. We shouldn't be assuming that we can get grant money for it. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I agree long term, but I think it says, as the RFSA is at the moment, we're looking, we've got this and we've got this, and we might be saying looking forward, when we, you know, when we've got the more money coming in from more people living in the village, then perhaps we might have more money to spend. I don't know. It just I mean, take really the advice of the RFO at the moment on that. I would.
Councillor Clark.
Yeah, I think I agree with Councillor Hart there. I think as we fill the houses around the village, we can review this each year. We can review this process each year and see where we stand financially. And if the percentages come down quite considerably, then it may be something we can consider to put into precept. But I think at this stage, bearing in mind there are going to be other things asked for us on the 4th of December, and we don't know what the full extent of those are yet, this could sway things if we top it up with another 12. So I personally would vote to leave it where it is.
Councillor Hart.
I'm just thinking as well, with MAID, am I right in thinking that Royston are being approached now for some contributions to MAID?
Yeah, but they haven't come back.
They haven't. So, but I'm thinking further on down the line,
possibly
this time next year, we may have more parishes contributing to MAID. I mean, I don't know at the moment, because I imagine ours is the biggest, the 12,000, and the other amounts, whether they precept for them or whether or how they do it. I'm not saying that we should follow suit with them, but I think while it's a changing picture, once we're waiting to hear if Royston are going to, you know, be part of the funding, perhaps it's something, as you say, we're looking ahead to our future meetings, thinking about, well, okay, or would we precept for this next year, or, you know, what are the other demands on our precept? But for this year, I think it's a big part of the community grant.
Just one final thing.
So, Councillor Clark.
Mr. Chair, if when we come to do the S137 monies next April, if we find that we are getting a lot more applications in, you know, as Assistant Clark was saying earlier, if we are getting more people coming in and asking for money, different people, different groups, and we find we are stretched, then maybe we could review it again the following year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the moment, while we seem to be in credit, as it were, on this particular process at this stage, and we do advertise quite broadly, I believe, for these charitable donations, if anybody wants them, I would say
that. Can I just ask why the request has come in for this? So presumably someone's asked that we precept it, and what the reasons are behind that?
With regard to MAID, it was suggested at a previous council meeting that it should be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And with regard to CRP, that's a request from the county councillor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it, Chair, is what you said, you know, it's what lens do you see this through? We see it through the lens that this is a service that as a parish we should be providing for our parishioners, then should be precept for that, because we may not have had this community grant funding, so, but at the moment we do have it, and as the demands on the precept are increasing, certainly this year, I think because we then have, you know, taken on things like the time bank coordinator, then, you know, we've got perhaps time to think about that next year.
Okay.
And there's other things like celebrating ages.
Yeah.
You've also got the Grinnell Hill insurance.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that sit in that pot that maybe should come out of that pot.
Yeah.
So it really needs reviewing properly, I suppose, to make decisions about that. But obviously this one is a lot of money, and it would have potentially quite a big impact on what happens to our precinct.
Okay.
Next year.
That's fine. I don't actually disagree with the concept of leaving it in the grant money. I just felt we needed to discuss it fully.
Yeah.
So the proposal then is that we take the CRP money and precept for that, but that we leave MADE. We don't precept for MADE at this time, but we'll review that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Proposal, Councillor Clark. Seconded, Councillor Hart. Those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, moving on to FG 2119, financial matters. Part A is to consider an updated financial risk register. Who has that?
All right, we'll hand over to the RFO on this one.
So this is just an updated financial risk register for this year, and also incorporating all of those outdated policies and things that we had last time. So really, any comments?
Councillor Clark.
There are only two that are sitting in high category anyway, aren't they? So everything else looks fine.
So one of the high categories is that we don't maintain, we have insufficient funds to maintain stuff, so things fall into disrepair. That's something that we're going to look at during this next round of precepts discussions. The other high one is the supposition that South Cams and County are going to fall apart and be unable to perform their delegated roles, so they pass it on to us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are likely to happen, but not imminent and not without warning. So I don't think we need to worry too much about the two high items. Anybody got comments about the risk register?
I don't know if any of you have come across the local council risk system software before. So there's a package you can buy that it's called the local council risk system, and it literally lists out every single potential risk that any parish council could have, and it will have literally things like bus shelters, bus services, you know, trees, public buildings, whatever. And you go through and it, you sort of decide, well, does that apply to my council, does that not? And then it lists out all the, within each category, all the potential risks. And you then put in your mitigating factors and stuff and score it, and you come up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a while to set up, but once it's done, you just have to review it every year. And it shouldn't really have changed that much. But one of the things is the finance one we've kind of got here, but I know there's a load of other non-financial risk that just sort of seem to sit and come up every now and again, and it would be quite nice in some ways to have it in one place. I don't know if anyone's...
Do you know what the cost
is? It's about 100 quid. It's really low. You then have to pay for any updates, say, for example, with GDPR, you've had to buy again, and I think they're about £40 or £50, but it's really quite cheap.
Who provides that?
Local Council Risk System. Begins with a Norman Cotman. And I think you can probably get it now. No, you can probably Google it now. Rish.
Sounds like an episode of Casualty, doesn't it? Yes. What could we get for this one?
And I think they will invoice you, so you can try it. You can just get it and have a look at it, and then think, oh, I'm not going to have it.
DMH
Solutions.
Limited. Mm. Okay. Water Beach Parish Council looks like they use it.
Mm. I distract him, all these bubbles out there.
Ooh, bubbles, yeah.
Well, it is Christmas.
We're baubles, not bubbles.
So who, sorry, Chair, is it, so who You mentioned it takes quite a long while to get set up. Mm-hmm. So whose responsibility would that be to actually do put in the...
Well, that's what we'd have to... Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it would be the clerks to do, well, certainly the non-financial bits, but...
Yeah.
But then someone needs to probably review that. Mm-hmm. But it does produce reports and things, but it would be quite a big job to sit here and review mm-hmm. all of that. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cost is 110 plus that.
So it's pretty cheap, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Councillor Clark.
Just a question for the, Mr. Clark, actually. Would this support our internal and external audits if we had something like
probably.
This on the books?
Yes.
And it would look, they would look favourably on this process?
Well, they would certainly not look favourably on the absence of a, mm-hmm. A risk.
Well, we have got a risk.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we had something as comprehensive as this, would that tick a few more boxes for us?
Yes, I think I would say yes.
Okay. Can we give delegated authority to the clerk to investigate and if found useful to purchase?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll propose that then. Seconded Councillor Clark. Those in favour? Unanimous?
Sorry, the proposer for that was?
Me.
Thank you. Could we also have a vote on the financial risk assessment?
Oh yes, sorry. moving backwards.
Kind of distracted.
Yeah. So acceptance of the financial risk register proposed, Councillor Hart, seconded Councillor Barnes. Those in favour, unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Did you say Water Beach?
Yeah, that came up when I searched. It seemed to.
Yes, that they're
using that.
To investigate and follow his clerk's contacts list. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's more than capable of that. Right, item B is to consider a report from the RFL on Spending Authority. Gabby.
Yes, so it's just sort of some things that have come to light. So. Within our financial regs, we have this authority to spend, which is in section 4, and this is about things that are in the budget but still need approval before you can spend it. So you may have a training budget of £1,000, but that doesn't mean you can just go and spend it without mm-hmm. checking, is it all right if I spend it on this training and that training? And we have a kind of a list of, well, you know, the parish office, you know, the clerk can approve up to so much, then the clerk and the chair, and then the committees and all the rest, and then finally the council. I would say that we could do better, I would say, on getting on these approvals within the council at the moment. And you may have noticed that a few things have been kicked back to the retrospective approvals parish council meetings. They're some of the big ones, but there are lots of smaller ones that are not currently being as we would like them to be. So I guess we're just wanting to sort of flag it up and look at what might be a good way of trying to tackle it. Because I'm obviously only here one day a week, and most of the time expenditure's already happened before I even know anything about it. So we're sort of having some thoughts about what might we be able to do. One thing that came to mind was to get a good old-fashioned stamp made up with sort of like, you know, approved authority to spend, you know, all those kind of things written on it. Which you can get custom-made ones for about 50, 60 quid. Other things might be to sort of do our own little audit, say, and get maybe, you know, someone here to every quarter to come in and check 20 things or 10 things or whatever, and just sort of come in and do spot checks. But you know, just some ideas, really.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Clark.
Doesn't Councillor Travis do some...
Just the bank recs.
Spot recs. So it's a similar process, really. Type of process to that. Well, obviously one of us can do that, or Councillor Travis. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, certainly, you know, I like the fact that we do get interrogation in the safest way, interrogation, but we have got people who ask questions, because I think, you know, go backwards. it was really for people. And I guess hearing Gabby say that, I think it would, I would feel more secure if we did have perhaps that sort of paper trail, and you know, we could answer confidently that approvals had been sought in the right way and that we were on top of spend. And yeah, so I think that's a good idea, especially as I guess as Gabby says, you know, when you're here one day a week, and then for you perhaps what it's like trying to do your own paper trail of where are things, because that would perhaps save a bit of time for you too. Yeah, sounds. So what would need changing, Gabby? Would it be 4.1 in the?
Nothing really needs to change in that. It's about how we track it right through. So it's more about us making
actually
sure
doing
we
get it.
The, actually
right.
Following,
okay.
Following. This is yeah. already here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just making sure that we are putting procedures in place to make it happen. Really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that the regulations that we've got are adequate to.
Yeah, I think so.
Fit for purpose. It's just what we do.
It's our interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to me, I think the old-fashioned way: you get a receipt, stamp mm-hmm. it, and then get lots of initials on it before any payment is made is a simple way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't involve any more paper.
No.
You know, you've got the audit trail is you look at the receipt.
Mm.
Or the invoice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be good for the auditors as well, because then they've got married up.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So we'll note your report. Do we need to vote on spend, or is that part of your office spend?
You need to approve the purchase of a rubber stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we rubber stamp this? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Rubber stamp is approved. Yeah.
Proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded Councillor Barnes. Rubber stamping it is unanimous. Okay, so item C is to receive to the new model financial regulations.
Thank you. So there are three documents in your agenda pack. The first of those is your current financial regulations, which are adopted.
Mm-hmm.
The second of those is guidance on the new financial regulations, which just basically lists the paragraphs that you can change. And they are the same paragraphs that were already changed in the company adopted
right.
regulations. And then the third document is the new model regulations, which were published by NALC this July. I've been through them now twice and compared new to old. I cannot see any differences. I'm happy to be corrected if that's the case. I thought there might be a difference in procurement thresholds, but I checked it again this evening and there isn't.
Mm. Yeah. I had a look through that tonight. I couldn't see.
I'm slightly scratching my head as to why they've bothered publishing new ones, but they have.
I'm the same. Hello.
I was hoping that somebody was going to. I kept thinking that it'll be highlighted in there. What's different? But I couldn't see anything either.
So I think we could probably do with going through them one more time just to be sure. But assuming that we don't find any differences, then it's just a question of altering the paragraphs in the new model regulations so that they reflect what's in the existing ones, and then re-adopt it.
Yeah. Sounds sensible.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that would, then come to full parish?
Yes.
Yeah. So
typically, that would be an annual meeting agenda.
Oh, right, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so take the new regulations, edit the paragraphs that we've already edited to match what we have existing, bring it to the annual meeting.
Yeah. And if we do find any differences between now and then, I don't think we will, but if we do, then there'll be a corresponding report, or they will be highlighted in some fashion so as to point that out.
Mm. It could just be that they wanted a current date on it.
Well, they only released the current ones last year. So it made me think that when they came out this year, there must be some sort of sweeping change, but I can't find it.
Okay. So, noted. Item D, then, is to consider a draft amendment to financial regulations in line with reserves policy. So this is related to the build-up of 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the pieces of advice from the last audit was that this should happen. Financial regulations should make reference to our reserves policy. So there is literally a suggested paragraph that should be inserted in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite clear. Yeah, it follows our existing policy. Proposal to accept. Councillor Clark, Councillor Barnes seconding. Unanimous. Item E is to consider a draft prepaid debit card policy. So this basically formalises what is happening at the moment. Seems fairly clear cut. Self-explanatory and eminently sensible. Does anyone have any comments on that? Okay. I have a proposal to accept.
Can I? So just a second, Clark, of the chair. So it's making a reference here that we would need to change item 620 of the financial regs.
Yeah.
I've just closed that window that I had.
So that's. So 620 says that transactions and purchases made will be reported to the council, and authority for topping up shall be at the discretion of the clerk or RFO. I think we either have to change that to say the clerk and RFO, or we just say authority for topping up will be in line with our policy.
Yeah, 620 currently reads, and the new now says any corporate credit card or trade card account opened by council, specifically restricted to use by the clerk and RFO, and should be subjected to automatic payment in full. That is in the new.
Yeah,
so
I
want
to
be.
And we have
the
one we've
edited.
We have the Walton card as well.
Yes, indeed. So I'm just quoting the.
So sorry, what does 620 currently say about the financial
regs?
So this is our one. I think Steve's looking at the.
I was looking at
the NALC one.
So I guess we've already amended this.
620.
Yeah.
So the prepaid debit card may be issued to employees with varying limits. These limits will be set by the council. Transactions and purchases made will be reported to the council, and authority for topping up shall be at the discretion of the clerk or RFO.
So, Gabby, you're saying that it'd be and?
It either needs to be and or just say it.
In line
with the policy.
In line with what?
Or with the new
policy. With
the new policy, yeah. I guess mindful of that, making sure that we're as secure as possible, because we didn't have a prepaid debit card before. Mm-hmm. We had debit, and it just, again, that just feels like it's really tight. Mm-hmm. That I think, and this really comes out from HR panel, we sort of had a moment, a eureka moment there, when we realised that we typically, in most parish councils that are smaller than the Melbourne, the clerk and the RFO are the same person, but we have a clerk and an RFO who are sort of on that sort of same level as such. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me as though that would be a safer thing if the it's at the discretion of the clerk and the RFO, because you've got two people working.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you have the financial regulations saying in line with the prepaid debit card policy, then you can alter the policy whenever you like, but don't have to go back and alter the financial regulations as well.
I would agree with that, because it talks about here a card may be issued to employees with varying limits. If that is all referenced back to the policy, it's laid out
in the policy.
In this policy, exactly what those limits are.
Mr. Clark's right.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So it says okay. The same in that then as well.
Yeah, so I think we should adjust 620 to be in line with the policy.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's there, isn't it? Yeah.
Councillor Clark.
Oh, no, sorry, I think we're voting. Oh. I was trying to prove it. Do apologise, Chair.
Okay, can I have a proposal, Councillor Clark? To accept the... to adopt the... policy for prepaid debit cards. Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Hart, unanimous. Item F is the petty cash procedure. To look at adopting a policy for this. So, recommendation is that the float is reduced from £50 down to £30, and maximum claim limit of £10 is introduced. Anything more than that goes on expenses. Other than that, petty cash is... the policy looks fairly standard process for any petty cash.
Yeah. There's just a couple of question marks in there about requests for changes to the size of the float will be reviewed by by the Financial and Good Governance Committee.
It would make sense, I suppose.
And then the other thing is that we really need two officers responsible, because I'm just not there most of the time. So if you've got somebody who's spent something, so we can only come in on a Monday afternoon. So... we really need two people. Typically, it is the assistant clerk who does the refunds. So I've put the secondary custodian as the assistant clerk, but we could make that the clerk. It's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Does the clerk or assistant clerk have a comment? No?
No, I'm happy with RFO and assistant clerk.
I thought you would be. Anything else? Any other comments from people?
It's just we've got to amend the financial reg, so it's going to be in line with again, isn't it?
The policy.
Because we've got for the RFO, I mean, I suppose you could change that, or assistant clerk.
The RFO may provide petty cash to officers, blah, blah, blah. The RFO may maintain a petty cash float of up to £100.
Which is still, I think
that's still valid.
Because that's up to, I think that's fine. Yeah. But in the top line, receipts for payment should be forwarded to the RFO. You could put all assistant clerk.
Yeah.
Could it just not say receipts for payments made shall be forwarded to delegated officers in line with the policy?
You've done this before.
And then you can change the policy as many times as you want, but don't have to change the final.
Being consistent then, aren't we?
Yeah, that sounds good.
That would sound good. Okay, any other comments from anyone? Councillor Hart?
Just to think it's really good that we're sort of reviewing things in line with changes that we've made, you know, so that the fact that we do have these prepaid debit cards now means we don't actually need as much in the petty cash, and so we're showing that we're sort of flexible to change things in the light of how our transactions change. So yeah, I think that shows we're not just doing things all the way we've always done them, because that's what we always do, you know. So it's,
okay, so we have a further change to the financial regs, a minor change to 621 to reference the petty cash policy. We are in agreement with the reduction down to £30 to see how that goes. Any future change will come back to this committee, and the custodian will be the RFO or the assistant clerk. Other than that, everything is as read. I'll propose that. Why not? Just for a change. Councillor Hart seconding, and unanimous. Thank you.
Okay.
Item G, to consider the mechanism for spending time bank income.
So this agenda item has come about because we're faced with a situation that we've never faced before, and that is that due to a highly successful presence at the community showcase event that was here in whenever it was,
July.
The time bank has generated a sizable income from the school that the time bank coordinator ran, where she had various prizes and activities and what have you, all of which she had to pay for. Some income was generated. The time bank coordinator now wants to spend some of that income on further time bank projects, but we don't really have a mechanism for understanding how that works at the moment, hence the agenda item.
Okay, how much is it?
I think it's
150 quid, something like that. So we're not talking huge amounts of money, and she wants to spend it on games and things to generate.
So that was backed, but it's now in the parish council's bank account. So I think we should take guidance from the RFO on this.
It doesn't sort of strictly fall within our, or nicely fall within our approvals for expenditure, because it's not really our money. But at the same time, just allowing the time bank coordinator to just say, we'll spend what you like, because it's yours, doesn't seem particularly fair or safe either. I don't really know. My suggestion would be something like to say her and Clark can approve.
We have a committee overseeing the time bank.
Steering
committee.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
It's like they don't oversee it, they support her.
Councillor Clark.
How practical was it for a request to come into the monthly meeting and just get council approval? That's too cumbersome.
Yeah. Well, it depends what she wants to spend and how quickly it seems like.
The monies we're talking about is 150 quid or so, then it would come under office authorisation anyway.
Not strictly. I mean, we could probably say it. We could, yeah, you could decide that it does.
You know,
but
at the moment, and then it comes as part of the finance report at the end of the month to full council.
I would prefer that there be authorisation at a meeting.
Councillor.
I'm just mindful that the time bank coordinator provides a report normally, doesn't she, to the full parish council meeting. I'm just wondering if that would be the vehicle to say. In order to achieve whatever was on the sort of calendar, this is what I think is needed, and then it would be, wouldn't it? It would be out in the open, and we could say yes or no. I can't imagine that we would say no, but I'm just thinking. I guess it's about getting it started, isn't it? Now, just wants it now, or no, I don't know when they want it, but I think it would feel safer if it was done like that as a feedback of, and then the general public would also know about it. But bearing in mind, we are funding the time bank coordinator. And it also, I think, raises the profile of the time bank. It says what it's done and what it's using the funding for, and it could get, you know, and whether or not it was the time bank users that are asking for stuff, you know, it just sort of keeps it all very much in the public domain, is my thought.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Barnes.
Are there any other organisations or things within the council that generate their own money like that?
No, we've got sort of slight funnies with things like Celebrating Ages as well, where, you know, they don't have their own bank account, so we kind of have their money sat within our account. But we, as the council, will award the money out for community benefit, so like you've got £3,500, and then they'll go and spend it. But strictly speaking, the person that's making the approval to spend that is not a councillor, So it's a very, you know, we've got some funny things.
But at
going
the same time, it's not council money that's being spent.
No.
It's the grant award that we have decided to give.
Well, they're all giving council money on that one.
Is there a sort of a policy thing that we can have just for the time bank then that is just saying that any money raised, sounds like Fight Club, any money raised. By the by their own activities is then spent on things that are... Is it just the approval we're looking at?
It's the mechanism for spend and how it's approved. Councillor Clark.
The Time Bank Coordinator is an employee, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. As she's an employee of the council, then I think the council needs to approve the spend. Because it's not like the RFO and the clerk agreeing to spend £30 or £50 on something and that's signed off. She's a lone person, but she's an employee. Because the wardens, they have a card. They can spend up to £100 on bits, but they have to bring in the receipts and all this sort of thing. There's a limit. Yeah. And what's to say there might not be £200 or £250 in the future? I think we need to be mindful as this process grows, and hopefully it is going to grow, and it looks as if it's going to. We could be seeing, you know, if she does tombolas and all sorts of different things, because she seems to be quite inventive, we could see a lot more money coming in through the door, so we need to control that. If we start with that, well, you can spend it because you've... Then it gets to £250, £300 somewhere, then we're going to have to change it anyway. So I would suggest that it's a case of it has to come through the council, unfortunately, be submitted in a request and full council approval. And then it's whiter than white. Then there's no ambiguity, there's nothing. It's all done through the shop properly. And if, especially if we're sitting with the money in our bank account as well. Because then, you know, you could have all the questions asked, you know, we've paid in £150 and you've paid out £85, where's it gone? And then she's got to produce receipts and all that sort of thing. So if we come through the council in the proper way, then it's done and dusted. She's unlikely she's going to want to go on QVC to buy something very, very quickly that's going to run out tonight, and she makes a phone call. It's not that type of process, is it? She might want to buy games.
Well, this is why I was suggesting that it goes through approval process for office spend between Clark and RFL. Mr. Clark.
Right, so two things, possibly even three things. First is that you need a time bank policy. You haven't got one yet. And we were waiting for the 6-month probationary period to be finished before writing that document. But you do need one. And it's clear from the present discussion that the issue of spending time bank income needs to be addressed in that policy. So I would suggest the policy should say that any requests from the coordinator to spend income that the time bank has generated must be submitted along with her monthly report that goes to full council. I think the advantages of that are there's an audit trail, it will have full council approval, but more importantly it sends a message, I think, to the taxpayers of Melbourne that actually this is not tax money or precept money that is being spent. This is income that is generated through the activities of an employee and is, you know, income we wouldn't otherwise have had. So you get that clear delineation between tax dollars and funded income.
Agreed.
Monthly is frequently enough. And it will all sort of, that's a process that will be put in place by the production of a time bank policy, which will have to address other things, but clearly that question is one of them. So I would suggest that the resolution tonight is to draw up a time bank policy, a draft one, send it off to whatever meeting it needs to go to get adopted. And if we're quick, there's no reason why we couldn't have it presented to full council this month. At the very least, we can get a report from the time bank coordinator, which has all the request for spending in it.
Yeah.
So even if the policy isn't ready, at least there will be enough.
I would prefer that.
Because the only other committee that could really do it is this one, and it doesn't meet frequently enough.
Do you think we could delegate John, Councillor Travis? He's good at policies.
In conjunction with the Time Bank Coordinator.
Can I just ask was there not a time bank policy, I mean a model policy or draft one from the previous, the two previous time bank coordinator?
We must have had something,
I think. So I agree with you, I mean it's something, you know, in conjunction with the time bank coordinator. And maybe, and also I don't know, with, again, the steering group, what their role would be in there, in that.
A policy submitted. There was quite a comprehensive risk assessment.
Right.
But that was done from the point of view of the time bank being an external body.
Right.
Or some separate entity that a parish council will fund. This would need to be a parish council policy.
Yeah.
And I only know two other parishes in the district who run a time bank, and I don't think either of them have got a time bank policy.
So we can't steal one then?
Pray not.
Consult. Reference.
Okay, so. Okay. Yeah, I think the suggestions put forward have good merit to ask full council each month for spend. And yes, we do definitely need a policy which would include the spend expenditure.
So this is only spending income that's generated by the time bank?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
All of the spends will be done, it will be treated in the normal way.
Yes. There would be no reason for time bank coordinator to spend any other money other than what has been generated by the time bank.
And unless, of course, the time bank coordinator realised there was something that, with the council's support financially, would help to do something to move it forward. But that would just be a request that would have to come to full council anyway. So,
yeah.
So in addition to any other money that she's got to
we do kind of have a budget for time bank expenses, which might be things like phone and, I don't know, travel or printing or whatever the time bank person needs to do. So that's already within our own budget and we're full within our normal approvals process. This is really specifically about this money she's generated. And then how do we spend that?
It would make sense to me that it should remain within time bank. But the it's just the approvals method, which is suggested, and I think it's good. Okay, so proposal then is that we write a time bank policy to include expenditure mechanism. That mechanism shall be to. Form, that it form part, an expenditure request forms part of the monthly report at full council. And until such time as the policy is written and adopted, then that is the mechanism that will be used. So that we have an immediate method of spending the money prior to the policy being written and adopted. Okay, I'll propose. Councillor Clark seconding. Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, FG 2219 is document reviews. And the Pune Parish Council documents, recommendations, or any updates prior to sending to all council at the end of the month. Part A is terms of reference for our good selves. These have changed, haven't they?
Heard on September 2019.
Yeah, and the reason they're an agenda item is because the review is due.
Yes.
I did flick through them tonight. Nothing immediately jumped out of me that doesn't seem to be fit for purpose.
I just had a couple of things. Oh. That's all right.
Yeah.
At the moment, we seem to be looking at the internal audit reports, which isn't on the terms of reference. So I don't know if we need to put that on there at all, because definitely they have been coming to this committee and they're not on there.
Okay.
That's something we should do.
Does anyone have a copy of the new model financial regulations knocking about? I seem to remember reading something in there that says review of audit reports and actions generated from the audit reports can only be addressed by full council.
I think that's right, but it has been coming here.
Mm.
Although it's only actions. Have to go to the full council, isn't it? They have to have slightly a full audit report. I think this people will just be looking at it and making recommendations or.
It would seem a bit daft to me to have a governance committee that can't look at an audit report.
Yeah.
just says the RFO shall, without undue delay, bring to the attention of all councillors any correspondence or report from internal or external auditors. Which I don't think necessarily precludes this committee from looking at it and maybe deciding what actions are going to
be done. So
it would seem strange that we.
It's 1.13. The final bullet point in 1.13.
Addressing a recommendation.
I don't actually think that is the law.
Yes, so can I just check then? So, Gabby, are you saying that you think that it would be appropriate to have something about the audit?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this committee has been doing that.
Right.
So you need to either
decide if we're going to carry on doing that, and if so,
and if
it
needs to be here, or we decide that we're not allowed to do that, and make sure we don't do it going forward. That seems a bit odd that you're not allowed to, it has been doing.
So
it does seem rather odd that a governance committee can't address and pass recommendations up to the council.
Would it come under, we've got 4.3 to undertake an annual review of effectiveness of internal controls. Would that cover the internal?
Sorry, that's looking at how effective the audit process was rather than addressing recommendations.
Okay.
So the financial regs as the model put forward by NALC in 1.13 says that addressing action recommendations from an audit is for council only, which does seem rather odd.
I think financial.
We have been looking at it, but I don't see anything that would preclude us from looking at it and then taking a recommendation as to what our action from the recommendation is, because the recommendation isn't always you must do this, it's this must be done, so our recommendation is then how to do that. That makes sense?
Yeah. And full council can always bounce it back to us to like the answers we come up with.
Can I ask a question? And do all parish councils have a finance and good governance committee?
Pretty much, yeah. I've never worked with one that doesn't. I mean, I guess
very small ones, maybe.
Small ones,
small ones, maybe not.
Okay.
I think the first thing I want to do is, if that's okay, is go through the most current version of the audit regulations and see whether it is written in law that it must be a full council matter only. I've never seen it, but if it is, then that's it. Then it means looking at auditors' reports can't be a matter for the Finance and Good Governance Committee anymore.
Assuming it is part of our job, then it needs to be added into the job description. Yeah, yeah. Reference. Seems a bit daft that we're not allowed to look at an auditor's report, and yet we control the process.
Can I go away and just do the homework on that one?
Well, we're only recommending the precept.
Well, yes. Yeah.
So.
But you'd think a similar thing would apply, that you
Anyway, if we leave that for the clerk, please, to go away. Do you want us to tell you to do that?
No, I've got it down as an action.
So, in that case, the terms of reference are adequate as they are, unless we are allowed to look at the thing, in which case they need to be updated. Is that good enough for the proposal?
Was that, sorry, I was going to ask, did the RFO have anything else? Was that the only thing you told me to this?
I think that's kind of the big ones. Okay. I mean, it says that the insurance currently says the clerk, you know, review in conjunction with the clerk, the insurance arrangements, whereas in the financial regs it says the RFO does the insurance, which has been a bit pedantic, but they're currently kind of clashing a bit. So, anyway, it's just a minor point.
Does it, the RFO, or
does it make sense though? Do you want
to change it to review it in conjunction with the clerk and the RFO?
Yes, I think that makes sense. Yeah. Two heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that's proposed to full council for approval.
So, and, so it's change 4.9.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, I don't.
Proposer, Councillor Clark, seconded Councillor Hart, unanimous. Item B is a policy for the community grant funding.
Thank you. So this is again overdue for a review. I've been through it given the time of the year. My only comment really to make is that does council want to be a bit clearer in the policy about how application processes for brand new groups would work? And indeed, is this a fund suitable for someone to come along and say, I want to set up a brand new group, can I apply for funding to do that? Because currently they would probably be unable to provide you with a bank account or any accounting statements, and that would seem to preclude them, given the current wording, from being able to apply.
So we did have one at the last round, didn't we? Seems to be a bit casting a net wide, seeing what we've caught.
I think from history, and this is something I'm very passionate about, bearing in mind this is one of the reasons I became a parish councillor, community grant funding. I really like the rigour that's in here, but also the fact that I would have thought to have flexibility in the sense that if it was a group like that we would be able to say, because it says groups are required in most circumstances to have their own bank account and to submit their latest audited accounts or their last 3 months' bank statements. So I think we've got a little bit of leeway there to see that wouldn't necessarily be the case if it was somebody who was looking to do something that met all the other stuff. So the other things that I'm really keen for is, you know, we've got this list of criteria. So number of people benefiting, evidence of benefit to the community, evidence the priority groups benefit, you know, teenagers who are not in education, legacy value, the grant is, and I wonder how often we apply that one, evidence that the grant is funding of last resort. I mean, that's come up a few times, hasn't it? Has it? So I think we've got the key criteria is there to be matched against. And I just think for me, the fact that it's there, that we need to make sure that we do apply it consistently. If we're going to use it, it's a bit like we said earlier on, it's in that other document, but were we actually using it? So if you're going to have a policy, it has to actually be applied. So I can't see anything in here that I, at the moment, think needs changing, but I may have missed something.
So it does actually say under evidence of deliverability below that they must show there's a demand, so that the council has good evidence that money will not be spent on something which falls after a short period of time. So that seems to apply to new groups. It's already in there.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's just about being particularly careful how much money you might want to give to people that perhaps.
But that would be a decision for the council.
But it seems it's covered in, you know, to sort of be careful about that kind of thing.
I don't know.
Councillor Clark.
Can I ask what NEET stands for?
It's to do with children that aren't in education.
Not in education, and employment and training.
Councillor Clark.
I have one sort of bounces around the room a bit, I suppose, this one. When you come to who can apply for a grant, halfway down the first paragraph, it says, organisations which may provide a general service from which Millbourne may benefit are not eligible to apply unless they can demonstrate that there will be benefit within a reasonable time frame. And then it goes down to the point below, the potential to benefit if a certain set of circumstances come into play is not sufficient justification. That's too woolly for me. It sort of doesn't really say anything in my trying to sort of put a slightly legal hat on.
This is the clause by which a county-wide service, like the search and rescue people, councillor?
To the coach people?
No. Somebody who's got dementia and wanders off, then they'll go and be searched for. They apply to us quite often, and we reject them because they can't demonstrate that a Melbourne resident is going to benefit. They may, or they may not.
I just thought the actual general wording of it was a bit too woolly for me. Organisations which provide a general service may benefit are not eligible to apply unless they can demonstrate that there will be a benefit. So it's okay. Is that why that clause was put in?
I don't know why specifically for them. I don't think that.
Yeah, so I think the policy is trying to convey the message that it's not enough to say someone might benefit. Mm-hmm. You've got to say will benefit, and then back that up with empirical data.
How do we stand on people from outside of Melbourne applying for grants where a percentage of the benefit goes to Melbourne residents, but we can't quantify the percentage?
You get applications like that all the time. And the applications, certainly the ones that I'm aware of, have been granted in the last 18 months or so, do give you that empirical data and say, you know, here's how many members we've got and here's what percentage of them are.
Okay, that answers that.
Because we get that with MAID, don't we? These are the children coming from Melbourne, and with the Royston Transport, again, it was decades before about which ones were community transport with that. And even in Celebrating Ages, it said how many of the people lived in Melbourne.
Same with MAIDs as well, they say how many people are Melbourne residents.
Yeah. Well, others than that, I've got no issues with it.
Okay, so I think that's accept with no changes.
Yeah.
Proposed. Go on, Councillor Hart seconding. Those in favour?
Sorry, who proposed?
I did. And unanimous.
That's reviewed and done. So that goes to full council then.
And finally, item C is procedure for expense claims.
Thank you. So this document is 3 years old. More than 3 years old. I can't see any evidence of it having been reviewed since January of 2016, hence the reason it's on the agenda. There was also an issue that the RFO raised recently with regards, again, this is time back expenses. And Gary, your issue was who approves them, is that right?
Yes. I think we've kind of.
We sorted that one out, didn't we? It's an agenda item because it's more than 3 years old.
Councillor Hart.
Can I just ask the clerk, in terms of looking at it, do you still think it's fit for purpose, the clerk and the RFO now? Not, what needs advice, please?
Why don't I do it? No one here wrote this, did they?
No.
I'd say it needs a rewrite.
A rewrite.
It could do with a rewrite, couldn't it? I mean, we don't actually have a budget for any expenses at the moment, which is something we can put in
the present
next year. But I think it's... perhaps woolly. There's a few holes there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not clear, is it? There's things in various... it's in a bit of a funny order. It's just not, it's not tight enough. Kind of gives the impression you can just go and claim for your phone calls, your printing costs, your stamps, your taxes, your, you know, it doesn't
really your duck house.
Your duck house.
Only if you've got a pond.
Well, I've got one of those.
No, it's mine.
At the moment, no one's really claiming anything other than the odd bit of mileage anyway. Also, it doesn't mention things like public transport on there.
Councillor Clark.
Can I make a recommendation that the RFO comes forward with a proposal of an amended...
I will.
Something in line with what
so
you
said. So much to do on the precept, so mm-hmm. it's going to have to... I can. I'm happy to rewrite it, but it's, you're just going to have to be prepared to wait.
Yeah,
that's so I just think it makes sense because you see what flows through and you know typically what would be.
Yeah, I mean, given that we're not really using expenses at the moment, then I don't think there's any urgency for it anyway.
It could be brought to the next, not the 4th of December one, but the next.
The 4th of December is just a working
month. Yeah, yeah, so that's what I meant. The next FNG in June, would that be okay?
That's
what the precept line. Yeah, New Year, I think.
Yeah, New Year one, yeah. Because it makes sense, because you see all the numbers going through, you know what's applicable. So you have to crop up.
Okay.
I guess the other good thing is now we've got it minuted that we're aware of needs reviewing, and we've got a schedule for when it's going to be done by, so it's not as though we're just ignoring the fact that it's doing.
Can I also ask that the mileage rate is updated from 0.45 pence? Is zero the
figure
is 0.45p. So it's either, should either have 45p or a pound sign of no p. Call me Mr. Picky. So if I'm going to claim for mileage, I want to be worthwhile. Okay. Don't need to vote or anything on that, do we?
No,
so that brings us to item 23.19, which is to note that the date of the next meeting is the 16th of December. And with that,